Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. To this broadcast, I'm Doug Hagman in studio with Joe Hagman. Again, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Go to HagmanandHagman.com. There is our show page, and HagmanReport.com is our news and information page, our show prep page. And boy, do I have to fall on my sword this hour. Joe was right. I was wrong. I'm looking at the schedule here, and I did send him the right schedule. I had to actually go into my office and send me a copy of my own schedule, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, oh. So here's the lineup for this week. Tomorrow, open lines. Bill Salas Thursday. Steve Quayle Friday. And that's going to be a special show Friday. A number of topics going to be discussed. He's going to be bringing on various guests on Friday. So it's open lines. Bill Salas. Steve Quayle. Rounding up this week. There you go. Okay. So that was, you're right. I was wrong. The Panama Papers, Clinton, I just want to mention this because many people don't understand the terabyte plot or the
I don't understand.
Huge amount of information that was released.
The Prime Minister of Iceland has resigned over this.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of people.
It has connections to Soros in some way.
Oh, it's got connections to anyone who's got any money. So, if you, like, generally the people who listen to us don't have to worry about that, and we don't have to worry about that, but anyone who's got, like, offshore accounts and stuff, if you've been doing some naughties with your money, hiding it, it's, basically what the Panama Papers are, it exposes a massive network of global tax evasion. And they've named it the Panama Papers. Barack and former Secretary of State Clinton pushed for the free trade agreement that watchdogs and people like us were warning about. Obama championed his commitment to raise taxes on the wealthy. While he was doing that, he pursued and eventually signed the Panama Agreement back in 2011. Clinton issued a statement lauding the agreement. Critics, however, said the pact would make it easier for the rich Americans and corporations to set up offshore corporations and bank accounts. And it's interesting because you can watch the progressives watch them immolate, their heads explode when the Panama Papers are discussed. This is huge, and this is going to really, this is going to have backlashes all across the world. We should get into the Panama Papers. Have a special program on that. In fact, I might just do. To get into it a little bit more. The Panama Papers exposes about 40 years worth, about four decades worth of information that includes more than, and think about this, 11 million documents. on more than 210,000 companies and trusts and foundations and world leaders and offshore dealings in Panama where money laundering and tax avoidance and crime and criminal activities and conspiracy, including the funding of terrorism, are made easy. The leak from financial services firm Mossack Fonseca shows that that organization actually helped their clients perform every one of those acts. The leaks have shown the suspected billion-dollar money laundering ring that includes a lot of people close to many people's darling man, Vladimir Putin, and showed that the Iceland's prime minister has been hiding interest linked to his wife's wealth. In other words, he's been hiding his money. Right now, a total of 12, a dozen current or former heads of state, and over 60 people are linked to current or former leaders have been revealed to have secretive dealings in Panama. Hence the name Panama Papers. How many documents? 11 million. How many companies and individuals and leaders? Well over, well, approaching a quarter of a million. Who's focused on this? Vlad Putin. Many people, they love to elevate Vladimir Putin to this status of what a moral and upstanding man he is. Oh yeah, it's a big deal. And this is just coming out, and it's going to get bigger. This is, you can equate this to the financial, this is like a financial black book of the DC madam. All right. Basically. Now, I mean, that's kind of what it is. Soros and the Ford Foundation behind the Panama Papers, as you had indicated, Joe, the financial, I will say this, the financial elite, according to InfoWars, have hijacked investigative journalism to attack Putin specifically. Now, if you look at how this is being reported, and I mentioned the fact that Putin has his hands dirty, that's true, but he's not the only one. And InfoWars does make a good point. The corporate media has seized on these so-called Panama Papers linked to this Panamanian law firm to help condemn Putin on everything. That's true. While that's true, he's still part of it. Okay. The International Consortium of Investigative Journalists with the ICIJ. It's a coalition of media outlets, and they went through a bunch of the papers. And just to be clear, these papers reveal this covert network of associates of Putin, business ties between a number of the various people. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's endless. And a lot of people from the United States, men in the United States, women, businesses, foundations. But out of 11 million documents and nearly a quarter of a million people with money, They're seizing on Putin, and they're really going after Putin in a big way. And again, he's got his hands dirty, but he's not the only one. It'd be like saying, well, Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz, Bernie Sanders, and Donald Trump all rob a bank, and just taking all the blame and putting it on, we'll say, Donald Trump, or any one of the four. That's what the ICIJ is doing, or IJIC is doing, and that's what the press is doing. The captured ICIJ, I'm sorry, the captured mass media is doing. So you can kind of understand that. And is it important? Yes. And why now? That's my question. Why is this just being released now? Why all of a sudden now? This crime network, news of this crime network being leaked. Why now? Is there a significance to it? What are they trying to do? 2.6 terabytes of data. 2.6 terabytes. So, is there a reason? When leaks like this happen, I always wonder, why now? Folks, before we get into the program more, I want to draw your attention to just a wonderful website, wholetonesalive.com. Are you sick? Are you sick of being stressed, overwhelmed, and unmotivated? Do you feel life is running you instead of you running your life? Well, you're not alone. Finally, you can experience the scientifically proven powers of music therapy with Whole Tones. It's a collection of proven music therapy that can help reduce stress. It can help ease your mind and motivate you. You can get started today and listen to a free sample of this amazing music that heals and inspires at wholetoneslive.com. One of our many, many happy The Whole Tones clients said this: I started playing Whole Tones throughout my workday, and not only was I more creative and motivated, the work I was doing seemed easier and clearer. Oh, mental clarity is what we need. We had Michael Terrell on our show. Just to be clear, that's T-Y-R-E-L-L, Michael Terrell on our show. And he explained how this music was inspired by the music frequencies of King David. Biblical indeed. It was a great show, and in fact we had them on twice, and I would urge you to listen to both of those segments, because he explains much about the origins, intent, objectives of Whole Tones Live. Folks, go to the website and download a free sample at wholetoneslive.com. Support the Hagman and Hagman Report and go to wholetoneslive.com. That's wholetoneslive.com, W-H-O-L-E, toneslive.com, wholetoneslive.com. All right. I want to thank them for just such being such great partners in this radio endeavor. So anyway, before that, we were talking about the Panama Papers, and just to be clear, 2.6 terabytes of data, and it's the biggest leak that journalists have ever worked with in the history of the entire universe at this point. Well, at least this iteration of it, and much in the shadows, it proves how a global industry led by major banks, law firms, asset management companies, and those manage the estates of the world's rich and famous, from politicians to just generally fraud people and drug smugglers, to celebrities, to professional athletes. That's it. That's what this is all about, Panama Papers. The more we get into it, the more we research this, the more information that appears to be really, really bad, and really integrates the TPP and other trade agreements into the objectives here, into the objectives of, into the objectives of the global elite.
WikiLeaks is accusing Panama Papers leakers of being Soros-funded soft power tax dodgers, whatever that means.
Well,
so is this a
this is a
dump, a data dump for transparency, or is this a data dump with agenda, an agenda tied
both
to it?
Both. But I think more than anything, WikiLeaks brought this out to expose this network of money laundering, money asset protection that's illegal, and, of course, the funding of terrorism, which is a big part of this. So we should be paying attention to this. Now, this also, I believe that there is a tie here as well into the elections, because tonight, Wisconsin, the polls close in, 50 or 45 minutes, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, thanks to Larry M., our resident Baltic Dry Index expert. I know he doesn't like to be called that, but I call him that for pointing that out. By the way, that index is up a little bit. It had a 16-point increase today to close at 487 for the day. Yay! Good times are here again, he writes.
Meanwhile, U.S. trade deficit rises to a six-month high of $47.1 billion. America's trade deficit widened in February to a six-month high, and an increase in imports exceeded more than a modest pickup in shipments overseas. The gap increased 2.6% to $47.1 billion from a revised $45.9 billion in January, the Commerce Department reported Tuesday. The median forecast in a Bloomberg survey called for a $46.2 billion February shortfall. The gain in exports was just the first in a 5 months of highlights that squeeze on American manufacturers from a stronger dollar that's made U.S. goods less attractive in a weaker global marketplace. A third straight increase in the deficit indicates trade will weigh on first quarter growth. American economists' demand is stronger than abroad. David Sloan, senior economist at Forecast Inc. in New York, said, still weak overseas growth in the months to come will mean slow and steady gradual increase in the deficit, which will be a modest drag on growth in the U.S. In other financial news, this from Reuters, rising U.S. inflation will take bite out of the dollar. Currency market strategists are predicting greater weaknesses in the U.S. dollar over the next few months, as the Federal Reserve seems to have closed the door on interest rate hikes through the spring and left the greenback alone with a destructive bedfellow, rising inflation. When the Fed's policy statement in March and remarks from Fed Chair Janet Yellen later in the month striking a calculus tone, strategists say this has set the stage for a rough patch for the dollar in the near term as inflation nips at it. U.S. inflation has firmed in recent months, with core consumer price index rising 2.3% in the 12 months through February to mark the largest increase since May of 2012. The core personal consumption expenditures price index, which is the Fed's preferred measure, gained 1.7% in the 12 months that ended in February. The core inflation readings exclude food and energy prices. The Fed is targeting a 2% PCE reading. Inflation typically undermines the dollar's strength by diminishing its spending power. Differences in inflation rates between the U.S. and Eurozone have been the main force behind the dollar's value against the euro since 2000. According to research from Fundstrat Global Advisors, if inflation in the U.S. is relatively high but interest rates aren't expected to move higher, that doesn't bode well for the dollar. That from the global head of FX strategy at Credit Suisse in New York. They go on to say that the euro hitting $1.17 against the dollar within the next 3 months, that suggests 2.7% more downside for the dollar against the euro. So, we have, one, a increase in our trade deficit by 2%, up to $47+ billion, and the dollar looking at inflation, so much so that it is going to affect the purchasing power of the greenback. As, again, the first paragraph says, the currency market strategists are predicting greater weakness for the U.S. dollar over the next few months as the Federal Reserve seems to have closed the door on interest rate hikes through the spring and left the greenback alone with a destructive bedfellow, rising inflation, which has set the stage for a rough patch for the dollar over the near term as inflation nips at it. So there's some promising economic news, which isn't so promising. It's more of what we heard from last night from John Reagan, as we are looming in the era of economic collapse. It's not a matter of if, but when. This is an interesting story from Infowars.com. Swiss politician: refugee crisis could trigger a new world war. Civilizations that fail to secure their borders are doomed. Writing in the Europe Daily newspaper, Capel argues Europe is about to abolish itself due to a megalomaniac open border policy overseen by the likes of Angela Merkel. The basic problem today is Islam, writes Capel, pointing out that the numerous terrorists who were born in Europe merely proves that the integration has completely failed. The Islamic terror is a fact. Concealment and glossing over this does not help. France and Belgium are just a taste. It is an illusion to believe that politics can cope with this mass migration, asserts Koppel, cautioning that the failure of the elite to acknowledge that their failed policies have caused a crisis will lead to political extremism. Koppel draws parallels between World War I, warning civilizations that fail to secure their borders are doomed and that disaster is on the horizon. Capel's comments echo those made by numerous and other prominent political and military leaders in recent months. Earlier this year, Norwegian Army Chief Odin Jensen remarked that Europe must be prepared to fight its defend its values against the threat posed by radical Islam. It was also revealed back in January that the chief of the Swedish Army, General Anders Bannerstam, ordered his troops to prepare for a war in Europe against skilled opponents within a few years. It goes on to say that the threat of terror is rising. Hybrid wars are being fought around the globe. The economic outlook is gloomy, and the resulting migration flows from displaced persons, and refugees have assumed unforeseen dimensions. Top security experts in Germany also told Chancellor Angela Merkel last October that the middle class was becoming radicalized as a result of her open border migrant policy, that domestic disorder could ensure as a result. Meanwhile, in France, security forces have been making preparations for mass civil unrest and radicalized immigrants taking over their entire neighborhoods.
You're talking about France, right?
Yeah.
Well,
right now, France...
France, the government stopped the mosque building in France.
Well, I saw
that. Believe. Was it
they
France?
Said, they said that if they don't build the mosque, that they will be attacked.
Okay, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, that. So we need to take a look at what's taking place in Europe with respect to this. Now it's a dual pronged approach: the alien invasion, and also the Islamic component to this, where they're holding entire governments hostage. If you don't allow us to do X, we will do Y. If you don't allow us to build a mosque, we will burn your city down. If you don't do this for us, we will take over your, well, we have already taken over, so
that's
we're
exactly
just going
what
to.
They're saying.
So this is coming to America, and for the most part already is in America, because they are, in many cases, they are dictating to us policy. Meanwhile, hiding behind the Council on American Islamic Relations, who was an unindicted co-conspirator of the Holy Land Foundation trial back in the 2007, 8, 9 era, or 5, 6, 7, in that time period. All right, you have to understand that we are being held hostage, or will be held hostage here in this country, as much like, for example, France is and has been. We will do the attacks. So, but don't worry, because Trump will fix everything, and he's going to build a wall and send everyone out of the country. If you really think that's going to happen, then, or if that makes a difference at this point, I'd like to think it will happen, but I'm not going to put my certainly not going to put my bet my house on it, or the bank's house that I live in. They let me live in. Anyway, speaking of terrorism, and speaking of Trump, because now, you know, it's Wisconsin night tonight, and the Republican aspect. And I just want to really reaffirm this. Do not take lightly what the head of the Republican National Committee said about, and you can find this information in the Washington Examiner. Don't take this lightly. RNC chairman previous said,
the party decides.
Yeah, the party decides. And, you know, Dave Hodges was on our program, right? And he had cited a state official saying basically the same thing.
Yeah, your votes don't count in primaries.
Right. Now, asked by Charlie Sykes, the talk show host, whether the nominating rules. Yeah, I heard it too. Would nominating rules change from those set at the previous convention? And I had told you earlier, the previous sounded disgruntled and disgusted, and yes. Well, that was the last convention, he said. The rules that apply are talking, the rules that people are talking about were the rules adopted by the Romney delegates in 2012. So I find it amazing that people would like to adopt the Romney rules to apply to this convention, or the convention, which will largely be made up of Cruz and Trump delegates. Now, I don't think major changes are going to take place, but I don't get to write the rules, all right? And the Rules Committee does, I get that. But anyway, somewhere along the line, the people decided, yes, let me start this again. Okay. All right. Somewhere along the line, the people decided wouldn't it be a good idea if we expanded the interest here and had statewide primaries and caucuses, and then we would have we would tie the hands of the delegates just for one, just one vote. This is Priebus talking now, which is why it's kind of disjointed, and add me to the mix, and it becomes even more.
Well, first he started out by saying, you know, in the early 1800s, there were only delegates that voted for the nominees in the primaries. The people did not vote in, or citizens did not vote in primaries. And later, the rules were changed to include people to be able to vote in primaries, where at one point people only voted in the general election of the president, not in the primary process. He's basically saying that, you know, the people are the ones causing the problem here by wanting the right to vote. I don't know if that's in that quote, but it was in the audio I listened to earlier. And then he goes on to talk about Rule 40B, which they're looking at changing, which we will cover more on hopefully tomorrow. I'll have a more comprehensive understanding of that rule and exactly what they're changing in that rule, if they're going to change it. But, I mean, we've talked about this at length with Dave Hodges, with, you know, amongst ourselves and with many guests. Will there be a contested convention? Will the nomination be stolen from Trump? And or will Trump hit the magic number of 1257 delegates?
1237.
1237 delegates. If he does, is there anything they can do at that point?
Yes. They still can do this because...
because they're already taking away delegates from him in states that he's won. And Wisconsin is a winner-take-all state. But somehow they're talking about how Ted Cruz will...
No, it's not going to be Cruz.
Come away
with
delegates even if he loses.
No, it's... okay.
And the show before ours, Russ Dizdar, he did a show today on the false religion of Mormonism and the Book of Mormon and the lies of false prophecy of Joseph Smith.
Right.
And I'm not going to say any more on that because I don't have the information that he had shared on his show. Or my own investigative information on that. But if I believe what Russ was saying is true, but I will look into it for my own understanding and verification. But if what he said is true, the Book of Mormon is so much worse than what I thought.
I listened to the program, and I have to say I agree. And given my investigative research on it, it's...
It basically contradicts the Bible, and, you know, he was on point 110, I think, when the show ended on contradictions to the scripture.
Right.
And then you have people like Glenn Beck out there, you know, well, the Book of Mormon tells us.
And
what about the Bible?
There you go. What about the Bible? If we're Christians, we ought to be reading from the same book. All right. But Tommy Thompson, I don't know if you remember him. He was a former Wisconsin governor. He was on with Neil Cavuto on Fox. And Cavuto asked Thompson about the possibility of a contested convention and why Kasich doesn't just get out of the race given his position. Well, Thompson said that the Republicans needed to pick someone who would win against Hillary. And in the mix, it ain't Cruz or Trump. And Kasich was the best person to run. This is in Thompson's view. Here's what we're getting set up for. We're getting set up for a contested convention. We are getting set up for not a Cruz necessarily, not a Cruz or a Trump run or a ticket, but somebody totally in the like a Kasich or even, dare I say, a Jeb Bush, or if not a Jeb Bush, some other establishment Republican that will toe the party line and toe the globalist line. And this makes me think, basically, that Trump is, in fact, a rogue element, unexpected, and thought to have long been dead in terms of his numbers. So it does make me believe that Trump is for real. And then when you get you get people like Charles Krauthammer and Britt Hume on the conservative side, all verklempt, that saying, "Oh my goodness, you know, we could tell the state of the country has declined, and our statesmanlike conduct has declined with Trump. You know, he's a bore, a bore." Okay. Well, yeah, I'll tell you where the state of the country has declined. It's declined in its morality and its false teachings about judicial supremacy and its false teachings about abortion and homosexuality. And if this sounds like I'm repeating myself, you might as well get used to it, because when are we going to ask the real questions? But we're being set up for racial riots this summer. Here's the dynamic mix. Racial riots caused by the new Black Panther Party, as well as those Islamic fringe groups, and I'll just say that in that fashion. So you're going to have racial riots, the Islamic fringe groups joining the new Black Panther Party and other parties. You're going to have the Nation of Islam entering the mix and other fringe elements there. You're going to have this extreme dissatisfaction by the Republicans or the conservative Republicans or those who identify themselves as conservatives this summer after the convention of the Republicans. You're going to have this overthrow as well, this chicanery at the Democratic National Convention. However, it will not be as pronounced as it was, we'll say, in 1968. It'll still be there. But in the end, you've got really two groups of people, two families, shall I say, maybe just one in the end, who does select the candidate for the general election and will be selected to win. And I do believe that to be Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. Just look at the 2016 cover of The Economist. Who's on that front page? It's Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton, no one else, in terms of candidates, I believe, if you look at it. So I believe that the die has already been cast, and I believe that that's what's going to happen. But in amongst everything else, wouldn't it be interesting if, in fact, that they did this destabilization and destruction of the Republican Party, and many say, oh yeah, go for it, the Republican Party is dead anyway. Remember, the right-left paradigm is dead, and people had laughed at Alex Jones when he said that. Now people aren't laughing anymore. They're realizing that the two main political parties are owned by the same wealthy people who put forward their approved candidates, from which the rest of us will choose, and no one else can run. Can there be a rogue aspect to this with Donald Trump? Certainly. Will he get in? I don't believe so. It's going to be Hillary Clinton to the end, I believe. That 69-year-old witch. That's what I think. Of course, that's just basically my view, given the landscape of what's taking place. But I think people ought to be expecting the worst. Pray for the best, but expect the worst this fall, because in amongst everything else will come it could come some financial problems that will keep us captive. What's tonight going to show? The Wisconsin primary? What's tonight going to show? It's going to show some delegate counts, and perhaps perhaps a win for Sanders. Bernie Sanders is certainly popular in Wisconsin and the northern states, Pacific Northwest, and all across the north, and especially in the northeast as well. But in Cruz, I don't know. Cruz may pick up some. Kasich perhaps, but the bottom line, it doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter. While you're so focused on this, and while the Brit Humes and this is not to degrade and to take them to task necessarily, but while the political pundits sit there and entertain you like football players, entertain you like a baseball match or a baseball game and a football game, they entertain you like a hockey game, basketball game, whatever. They're pushing an agenda that no one can see, because no one's looking at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is, well, it doesn't matter anyway. So, yeah, we can micromanage and look at Wisconsin. We can look at all the polls. And it's interesting, because one report from Milwaukee, early in absentee voting, 300 to 400% above previous elections. Now, There's also Milwaukee's mayor race in Milwaukee, and a county executive race, Milwaukee County Executive race. They have both a mayor and a county executive. And there's a Wisconsin State Supreme Court election too. So a lot of people are getting out and voting. And Wisconsin newly enacted a voter ID law. And keep that in mind. Those without proper ID can still cast a provisional ballot, but must find proper ID by Friday. Oh, no. What can possibly go wrong in that situation? Watch for a big Sanders win in Wisconsin. That's my view. But in the end, does it matter? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. So, there you go.
All right. Excuse me. We have 20 minutes till the top of the hour where we will be joined by Stan Deo from standeo.com. He's going to talk about a number of things with us tonight. Now, I wanted to hit this article. Author Maria Kinney sent you an email about this.
Yes.
Dad, I don't know if you got a chance to read it. There was an article in the Daily Mail yesterday.
Yep.
About human sacrifice. Human sacrifice played a key role in shaping ancient societies. Brutal butchery of the lower classes created a hierarchy and helped the elite gain power. Researchers studied 93 traditional Austronians and cultures, found a link between ritual human sacrifice and social hierarchy. They believe the brutal practices help establish and maintain a ruling elite and may have let humans evolve from small groups to complex communities. Human sacrifice may seem brutal and bloody, but by modern social standards, it was a common practice in ancient societies. Here's a little secret, folks. It's still ongoing today.
And people don't want to believe
that. Much more expansive ways than it ever was back then.
Yep. People don't want to believe it, but it does.
Abortion is one.
And the abortion aspect of it, Skywatch TV, or, Tom Horn, Skywatch TV, I believe, did a segment on abortion and the occult, on Planned Parenthood and the occult. And they cited another website, which I think it was Life News, I'm not sure, but folks, understand that any time blood is shed in an organized fashion, it's done so for satanic reasons. Most of the time, it's done for satanic reasons, which is why you see, for example, sacrifices on certain dates, on certain planetary alignments. And it doesn't matter if you believe it. It doesn't matter. It just, they don't care. If they believe it, then that's all that matters. So, and that's what I found out too. I was exposed to that in my investigation, the satanic ritual abuse, satanic sacrifices. I was exposed to that back in the 80s. They really didn't know what I was seeing. And Russ Dizdar, of course, set me straight with that through his writings and his teachings. And that's, so that's something to think about. Now, it's interesting too, because we're seeing, a growing scandal over ISIS intelligence right now. The ISIS, don't fall for the name changes or the name shortenings, IS or Daesh name changes. ISIS was the selected name, and that's referring to as well the Egyptian goddess. But analysts right now are saying that they're being actually fired or made to retire for not accepting the Obama's administration's, or regime, more appropriately, line on the war. At least two senior intel analysts at the U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, said the military has forced them out of the jobs because of their skepticism about, well, the Syrian action, the action in Syria. It's we're seeing this happen all over the place, where truth tellers inside the government are being axed and told to retire, or being otherwise vilified and nullified in ways that we are all familiar with. And of course, it's one scandal after another, and the revelations are coming fast and furious. So speaking of fast and furious, when Dave Hodges comes on next week, you're gonna hear a bunch. You're gonna hear a lot of stuff. That kind of ties everything together and where some of these guns went. And could we, in fact, as a country, could we be facing an army of Islamic and alien non-citizens here in a Tet-like offensive that Dave Hodges had talked about? I think so. If you follow the trail of weapons, they're arming themselves. And I do believe that we are going to see this civil war. I've talked about it for a number of years, and I do believe that we are going to see a civil war here take place in this country. More like chaos rather than civil war. Now, could that affect the elections in terms of timing? You know, all of this will go on and off at the switch of a button according to the schedule, the agenda of those in power. So don't think that things, for example, you watched the Arab Spring take place. Was that just this accidental thing? No, this is planned. And any chaos that you see erupt inside the United States will be planned. Be planned by the elites, by the globalists in power. So you think that this is just nothing but BS? No, it's not. It's true. And it takes weapons. And you wonder why, because we still haven't got any clear answers to all the weapon, the ammunition purchases. And of course, that's just nothing but BS, right? We know that, oh, that's not true. That's all hyped up. They buy it because it's cheap and, you know, they use it. And okay, no. Where is all of this weaponry going? And if you trace this with some of the porous border openings to the south and the drug cartels and the MS-13 gangs and all of the other, and the new Black Panther Party, I think you're going to be surprised at the connection between those riotous groups and the guns and the global elite. I don't think I can say it any more clear than that. But so keep your eyes on what happens at the conventions, because I think what happens at the conventions are going to anger many people. You're going to see many surprises, and from there, you're going to see the reaction. Remember, it's problem, reaction, solution. They introduce the problem, they cause a reaction, and then they introduce the solution. And perhaps one of the solutions might be to extend the elections. And you've heard it before. I don't really necessarily believe that to be the case, that it could happen, but I think that if they control the outcome of this election, 2016, they don't need to extend Obama's stay. And after all, they've pretty much, as Joe Pesci said in the movie, what was that movie with Pesci and about the two kids who were on trial?
Judge. My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah, My Cousin Vinny. when he's excusing the witness, he says, "Yeah, I'm done with him. I got no more use. I got no more use for you." And that's what they're saying to Obama. Yeah, I'm done. We got no more use for you. You know, I mean, just consider the global power brokers saying that in that Joe Pesci-esque fashion. Yeah, I'm done with this witness. No more use for it. So,
In other news, a new Ford plant is set to be built in Mexico. Now, some backlash is coming their way, as they say that this could cause election backlash. This from Financial Times. Ford's Mexico move risks election backlash. And let's get to the article here. It goes on to say, Dennis Williams, president of the United Auto Workers Union, which represents Ford workers, immediately criticized the decision, calling it a disappointment and very troubling. And Ford on Tuesday reignited the smoldering U.S. election controversy over the effects of bilateral trade agreements when it had announced it was investing $1.6 billion in a Mexican factory to build smaller cars. Neither Trump, the Republican frontrunner who has made attacks on open trade a big part of his platform, nor Bernie Sanders, the Democrat, who's also campaigned on the issue, immediately commented on the development. But Mr. Trump has already said he would demand Ford base more of its manufacturing in the U.S. if he were president. And both candidates have frequently criticized managers who shift jobs to Mexico. The fate of workers at the Carrier Furnace plant in Indianapolis, whose jobs are being moved to Monterey, have featured regularly in Mr. Trump's speeches. It goes on to say, Ford said it was further increasing its competitiveness by making the investment in Mexico. The country has long been an important manufacturing location for the U.S. auto industry, which can more profitably build economy and compact vehicles south of the border. The decision to base the work in Mexico follows negotiations last year in which UAW workers saw in the U.S. one significant pay raise. Executives said privately before the start of talks it was possible that big U.S. price rises would lead to Ford to make more future investments in Mexico than the U.S. Ford said investing $1.6 billion in the plant in San Luis Pastilla State, which would create 28,000 direct jobs by 2020. It would announce later which vehicles the plant would produce. Mr. Williams said Ford's decision was the latest example of what was wrong with the NAFTA trade agreement and showed why the Trans-Pacific Partnership would be a disaster for U.S. citizens. Companies continue to run to low-wage countries and import back into the U.S., he said. This is a broken system that needs to be fixed. The decision to build small vehicle plant in Mexico reflects the trend among U.S. automakers since the 2008 downturn. Only General Motors, the biggest by sales, has tried in that period to build small vehicles in the U.S. at its Lake Orion plant near Detroit, but low margins and lackluster demand for small vehicles in the U.S. force it to end the production there and switch the plant over to produce new Bolt electric vehicles. Ford has invested heavily in U.S. plants in producing its sport utility vehicles like pickup trucks and the new aluminum-bodied F-150 pickups. The company said it had invested $10.2 billion in U.S. production plants in the past 5 years amid the sharp post-recession rebound and hired 25,000 new workers in the U.S. But the takeaway from this, I think, is what is said here by a Mr. Williams. Companies continue to run low-wage countries and import back into the U.S. This is a broken system that needs to be fixed. It's the latest example of what is wrong with the NAFTA trade agreement and showed why the Trans-Pacific Partnership would be a disaster for U.S. citizens. And he's right on the money.
Absolutely. Now, George Soros, the globalist extraordinaire, have you heard about this? He's co-opting churches to push a new world order. You know, after bankrolling just about everything from Obama and Occupy Wall Street to open borders and such, this billionaire globalist, in my view, communist, Marxist, Fabian socialist,
Nazis,
power broker. He has a new target in mind. That's the churches and pastors in the nation of Georgia. They're worried about surrendering their future to the European Union. That the same European Union that Soros, who's a self-described atheist, is recently said was on the verge of collapse. His agenda is pretty obvious. In essence, Soros and various other European governments are tired of pastors from the Georgian Orthodox Church warning their flocks about the dangers of surrendering sovereignty, national sovereignty, and the right to self-government. And they want them to submit to the increasingly radical European Union, super state of nations, this precursor to total global governance. So, what they're doing is they're using Soros money and taxpayer funds to train the pastors in how to love the European Union and promote it to all of the people who sit in their flocks. You see, the Soros organization is at the...
What a fitting topic for church services.
Yeah. Well, go with the flow. And it's a little different overseas, not like America.
That'd be like coming to America and saying, well, you know, integrate with Canada and Mexico.
But the Soros group, at the center of this whole, the hatching this plan is the Center for Development and Democracy, or CDD. And it's ironic, the revelations about Soros' efforts to co-opt the church in Georgia. Where did it come from? Well, it came from his own propaganda arms, EurasianNet.org. and they're bragging about having this. A much similar situation occurred recently here in the U.S. when the Soros funded what became known as, well, he's Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter. I mean, pick one. But he funded anti police activities and riots all across the United States. And he's going to do that again and will continue to do so. But this particular piece about Georgia, the nation state of Georgia, notes that the Georgian Orthodox Church is the most trusted of all institutions among the people of Georgia. So, in fact, more than four out of five belong to the church. Now, this from the New American. Alex Newman is the author. Check it out. Soros co-opting churches to push the New World Order. And it's happening here in the United States as well. It's a little bit more covert and occult, meaning hidden, of course. But what we're seeing is this generous funding of all things globalist in nature. And he's behind a lot of this. I mean, and he's not the only one. But it looks like he's got his hands in this. And it looks like all of the globalists, from Soros to Kissinger to even some of the people on the right, the Republican right, meaning Bush and others, they're looking to expedite this new world, one world global governance. And I would say anything now is possible. It's a lot different than a year ago, folks. 2 years ago. It's a lot different today.
Especially with the elections coming up and the potential change for not only the head of the executive branch, but all those other positions that will change leadership roles inside the cabinet and the executive branch as the leader of the free world changes their position. The same agenda, though, you know, we talk about all the time. The left and the right is just an illusion. They push the same agenda. They have the same goals. You know, Lindsey Graham, a Republican senator, could well be a Democratic senator. There's no difference in, except for the little R or the little D that is, you know, in front of their initials as they sit there in their House of Representatives or in the Senate. They push an agenda that is exactly the same, just from two different sides of the aisle. Same agenda, two perspectives, two roads to get to the same end game, end goal. And this is what we're seeing today, and it expands across all areas of society and all issues in those areas.
And what will you do when everyone realizes, and even the more skeptical among us, they realize that, oh, we've been gamed, and they see that maybe it's Paul Ryan on the Republican ticket. Maybe. And maybe it's Sanders on the Democrat, or Hillary Clinton on the Democrat. But what will the more skeptical among us say? How can they deny that we're being gamed? How? Oh, I'm sure they can say,
they're calling us terrorists, domestic terrorists, extremists.
Yeah, well, you see, this is how the system works. No, that's not it. No. And, you know, one more thing too, because it's kind of consistent with the first hour. National Right to Life endorses Ted Cruz for president. Again, this is a case where, is this the best we can do? I don't quite get it.
Of course not.
I don't know.
This is what we're offered.
National Right to Life, which people might ask what I've got against the National Right to Life, but are we not supposed to protect the most vulnerable among us, and that includes those people in wheelchairs, those people who don't have anyone, those people who are abandoned? How about the unborn? I think so. National Right to Life. Do your job. Coming up, Stan Deo. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.